Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Pop Culture Stars right here on Fascination. This is Dr. John. It is so good to be here with everybody after our technology problems last week. Ooh, thank goodness they're almost solved. Anyway, it's good to be here with everybody. Paul Destruo, how you doing tonight?
Doing really good. Thank goodness the show's back up and running again. Back from the dead, literally.
Back from the battery dead. I tell you, I had to get a new battery. I had to get a new charger.
Happy to be back with you guys. Happy to be back with you guys. Something I want to plug real fast.
Yeah.
As soon as I leave the Pop Culture Stars podcast tonight, Bruce Wirt, who's the original, the VOC original, is debuting his new show tonight right after Pop Culture Stars called VOC Wrestling with History. So you guys listen to VOCNation.com. Immediately following Pop Culture Stars, please tune in to Bruce Wirt's new debuting podcast, VOC Nation Wrestling with History. I'll be calling in and should be a good time. He's the original guy behind VOC Nation. He's the guy that put it all together, the original. It's great to have him back at VOC Nation.
Wow. Oh, that is super. Boy, thanks for that. It will be good. We're very thankful that Brady's keeping it more than alive. Brady is making it grow. It would be great, him having this new show tonight, I guess 10 p.m., right?
Yes, immediately following Pop Culture Stars.
That is wonderful. Well, we are glad to hear that, and thanks for that word. Mr. Todd, what you got going on tonight up in Indianapolis?
Man, all I can say is that I am outstanding to supernatural. From up here in our Yankee outpost of Pop Culture Stars, it's all things are bright and beautiful. It ain't even quite sunset yet.
I can imagine. It's beautiful down here in Myrtle Beach, and just so glad to be here, glad to have you with us. Yeah, I had an amazing weekend. I was up in Spruce Pine, North Carolina, where my family used to own a business, and it was the Spruce Pine Alien Conference in Expo. I was one of the guest speakers along with one of the stars of Ancient Aliens. We had a great time. Michael Barrow was there. I was there. In fact, we were the two guest speakers. I premiered my new book. It's called Look Up in the Sky, Aliens, UFOs, and Anomalies. And so it's got six encounter stories and two stories about remote viewing and UFOs and aliens. I had a lot of fun, met a ton of people. We probably had about 3,500 folks at that festival, and it was really, really sharp. Had a great stage. We did a panel, and I just met a lot of folks, sold a bunch of books. Thanks to everybody in the Spruce Pine, McDowell County, Mitchell County area up there at Mount Mitchell. It was just a blast. And so I could not have had a better time. Now, I will say this, though. From Myrtle Beach up to Spruce Pine, I don't care if it says 5 hours and 45 minutes, it is a 9-hour drive once you hit Marion, North Carolina. You've got to go straight up the mountain to Little Switzerland, then over to Spruce Pine. And I don't think my car has ever straight up the mountain like that. Oh, my goodness. It was just like crazy. And then I came back to Clayton, Georgia. I had to see some folks working on the project there, and of course, coming back this fall, so I had to go talk with some folks, had a great time there, again, straight up and down the mountain. My car likes it in Myrtle Beach, where it is flat, and my poor transmission made it back with me, and didn't have to go see the transmission doctor on Monday, so I was extremely happy about that, I'll tell you. But it was a lot of fun, and so that's pretty much what I've been doing. Now, Papa Stroh, what you been doing? I know you've got dusk is out. The sunshine, the sun is coming up on dusk. What's going on with that great series on the internet?
A lot of stuff's going down in season three. Great feedback so far for the viewers that watched the season three episodes. Very interesting thus far. And there's a lot more to come, actually. More new characters and a lot of twists and turns before the season three is up. This week, like tomorrow, actually, at 11 a.m. Tomorrow, they're going to be releasing a gag reel, blooper reel from season two. So that should be very entertaining. And this will be segued into the next episodes of season three. So this is going to be a nice little break in between mid-season with season three. So be looking out tomorrow for the gag reel from season two. That'll be released on our social media on Dust Series, Facebook and YouTube, which is facebook.com/Dust Series and youtube.com/Dust Series on YouTube. So yeah, that's going on. I'll be involved with a feature film later on this summer, entitled Pain, feature horror film. And we'll be in production with that throughout latter summer, early fall. Also got two films I'll be involved with towards the fall and winter of this year. I'm looking forward to being part of. Once I get more information as it develops, I'll let you guys know. July 6th, I'll be returning back to Wilmington, North Carolina for UPWA Pro Wrestling. Looking forward to being back with UPWA. For more ticket info for that and time and location, go to the upwa.com, thupwa.com for more info. But yeah, lots going on coming up. I'll be joining the Dust Series also at the Charlotte Comic Con first weekend in August at the Embassy Suites in Concord, North Carolina. I'm being inducted in, well, actually, if I'm inducted rather, recently in the West Virginia Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame, and announcement will be made soon on the ceremony once they get it together. But I'm one of the inductees at this year's West Virginia Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame. Very honored. I'm blessed to be part of that class. And big thank you. Much love to West Virginia for the years. Great memories, good matches, and great times there. Also, I'll be returning to XMCW on the Buffalo Wild Wings tour in the month of August. Got some Thursday night events coming up at selected Buffalo Wild Wings locations in West Virginia. So looking forward to returning to the Buffalo Wild Wings in the selected areas in West Virginia for the month of August. Cherokee Comic-Con, of course, Dr. John.
Coming
later on this year. Very excited to be part of that. First ever, from what I understand, Cherokee having a Comic-Con there. So it's really, really exciting. So, yeah, lots going on, man. I got more news coming up, too. But as soon as I get more details, I'll let you guys know on that. So it's busy.
Well, that's great. You were talking about some film production and everything. It looks like I will be narrating a documentary called Paranormal Raven County. And that's going to be filmed in the middle of July, and I'll be in the sound stage here in Myrtle Beach narrating that. So I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be talking about all my favorite things, UFOs, Bigfoot, and ghosts. So, We talked about that when I was up in Spruce Pine. So that's going to be a whole lot of fun. It's a series of documentaries, a lot like Small Town Monsters that Seth Breedlove does. And I guess I'll be narrating it as long as they want me to, which is great. I'm looking forward to it. We're probably going to do a documentary about ghosts and legends and witches up in Mount Mitchell area and Mitchell County. So, I'll let everybody know about that. Papa Stro, we'll both be having some premiere parties this fall. I have an idea, don't you?
Lots going on. Like I said, there's even more news I'll be announcing soon. So I'm excited for that, as well as I'm writing a script for another film that will be in development for the fall too. So, yeah, lots of things happening.
Great. So, development for the fall, maybe premiere in the spring, maybe.
We'll just have to see. Once I put it all together, I'll definitely let you guys know. But it's still in development.
Okay, great.
At this point.
Well, that's great.
Cool.
We are proud of you. That's a wonderful, wonderful accomplishment. So, yeah, let me know when you're filming. Maybe I can do a walk on and hello. Who knows? But thank you. That is great news, Papa Stro. And glad you're getting really active. That Buffalo Wild Wings tour sounds like a lot of fun up in West Virginia. And congratulations on being inducted into, you know, the world of Hall of Fames. I know you're in some, and they are very fortunate to get you in them because your accomplishments are wonderful and you've done a lot of work for the community and everything. And good act, really good actor. So we're very proud of you. And so Todd, you what you got going on? And then we'll catch Dave, and then we'll talk about Long Beach and the summer solstice, longest day of the year, kind of sort of maybe. Todd, what's going on in Indianapolis?
There was a small town up here this last weekend that I didn't even. I just completely spaced out on, you know, I to tell you the truth, last weekend I was focused on Father's Day. Just kind of the way it is, you're my stage of life. Got to spend a lot of time with the family on the phone, that kind of thing, that. And, man, I got my red meat fixed, found one of our local grocery outlets, had a great deal on the T-bone steak, so went through and did that, so I ate good. I mean, I'll tell you, can't complain much when you're eating good and you got a solid job and things are going okay. There's always good experiences at work. I got some people I work remote with, and we are just all over. Who knows where we'll be when we're communicating. So, you know, one of the guys I work with off and on, it's kind of cool. You can build up a rapport with your counterparts and the people you work with, and you're amongst the early ones on the list, getting the pictures of the engagement event, that kind of stuff. That's, you know, it's nice to see good things happening in people's lives. And you guys know I try to focus on those kinds of things. You know how much I look forward to my damn Wednesday nights with y'all. Because it means a lot to me, you know, being out here at the outpost on my own. But, man, all I'd say, you know, I got folks up visiting. We got some of our co-workers from the Kansas City area up visiting. And, you know, you sit there, you get great news. You have conversations with the boss, and he tells you something, and he hints innuendos, allegations, so to speak, on something he can't tell you that's good news for you. And, you know, I don't know how much good news I can ever take in a day, but it's amazing that when you get jaded and stuff, just keep pushing, man, because sooner or later those breaks happen. And sometimes you got to be willing to try something a little extreme. I've been separated from the family for a little over a year now. And it's, you know, we're making it work. Ain't saying it's easy, ain't saying it's all roses, that kind of thing, but we're making it work because, in general, good things are happening.
Well, great. We're happy for you, man.
Well, you guys are part of my, you know, you're part of the support network. You're part of what keeps me going, you know, throughout yards. You're a bigger part of that than what you know.
We're glad we are. Glad all of our fans are out there listening. Now, Mr. Dave, how are you doing? What's going on in Jacksonville with you?
Oh, man. Doing about the same like Todd was, just on the good news overload this weekend. And it's And again, it's amazing how when things start going good, you get a little more cautious about things because you're waiting for the other shoe to drop. But when things fall apart, you feel a little more, you know. But no, celebrated Dad's Day this weekend. Couldn't have asked for it a better weekend. Unfortunately, my dad had to make a quick trip to the hospital. Gave me a little scare that morning, but he is good to go, doing fine. And my son, Rob, graduated Friday night. And yeah, I'm going to tell you something. I couldn't be standing any taller than where I am right now. He's done a lot, you know, with being vision impaired and everything. And, you know, nowadays school systems, they're all about producing the numbers. They run like businesses. And, you know, when you have, some type of issue like me, I had my hearing and that kind of stuff with Rob and his eyesight, nowadays, the schools don't seem to give you the amount of, I don't want to say attention, but you kind of get left behind to a certain extent. So Rob's been digging in, and, you know, when he's been down, but he's clawed his way right on through it. And now here he is, you know, certified in I don't know how many fire and rescue programs, you know, a good 250, 260 strong kid, and by God, he didn't let that vision thing hold him down. So, yeah, I couldn't be any more proud of what I am right now, and he turned out to be a fine young man, and that was my thing. I had mentioned on Facebook when I posted some pictures, I remember he had a teacher, I want to say it was like fourth, fifth grade, and she had told me during a conference, she says, well, you have to prepare yourself to understand that he's not going to be a president, and he'll probably always be a step behind. And I'm here to tell you, it was all I could do to keep flipping that table over and putting her back on her broom and sending her back to Oz. But I stopped and I thought better of it, and I said, look, I says, I could care less whether his grades are A's and B's. That as long as he's holding doors open for little ladies, trying to do good for people, I can care less if he's digging ditches for a living. As long as he's a good man, takes care of his family and everything else. And I said something that's kind of stuck with me. I said, being a success don't mean nothing if you're a dirtbag. And, you know, that was 10, 11 years ago. And still to this day, I believe that if you're not doing anybody around you any good, but you're big and famous, then you're really not doing anything at all. You're just kind of holding down space. Rob has turned out to be a fantastic young man, very polite, very square, and always tries to do the good. So very proud of him, and couldn't be happier to see him do what he did. He really turned out to be a good man. So,
well, that's great. Congratulations to him. That's wonderful. Well, I wanted to. And thanks for that. I wanted to stick in that, you know, I'm down here in Myrtle Beach, and I've got to say, I've never seen the economy like this. It is just jamming every night. I haven't seen it like this probably since I was in college, and that was many, many moons ago. But things seem to be going well for our country, at least down here. A lot of folks are back down vacationing that had not been able to last year, couldn't afford it. And I'm really happy about that. I mean, it's a good thing for South Carolina and Myrtle Beach. It's a good thing for people. They're really genuinely a lot happier than they were last year. A lot of folks are struggling. They're not struggling so much this year. It makes me feel good. I mean, I think all of us are seeing the effects of a good economy and everything. And we are coming into the summer solstice, which is the longest day of the year. And what does that mean? I don't know, but it's good that we'll have more daylight down here. And I think a lot of people will be celebrating the summer solstice. A lot of our friends in different communities will be. So it's going to be good down here. And we've had nice weather. So the Myrtle Beach report is staggering and exciting this year. So we've got, it looks like the 4th of July weekend today. And which is really, really unusual because I'm on the boardwalk with Cody. Please come down and say hello to us, Carolina Caricatures. We're out there doing caricatures, talking about the paranormal. We're talking about Papa Stro, I've talked to some of your fans yesterday and today. You got fans all over the earth, and some of them come to Myrtle Beach.
Blessed to have them. Very blessed to have them.
Oh yeah, they're some nice people, and several of them have told me about seeing you live up there up in the mountains of North Carolina. And I guess when they're talking about your days in Smoky Mountain, where you were a fixture, and they were excited. They were excited to meet a friend of yours to talk about you. So I might just have to put me a little sign on that says, "I know Papa Stro Maestro of wrestling," and then I can probably get more people and we'll talk more about you. And that's great. I've sent several of them to your Facebook page to get them to like you. So that's where
a couple
of those might be coming. But yeah,
a bit of late breaking news actually. Kevin Feige of Marvel Studios has confirmed he's in talks with Keanu Reeves about possibly joining the Marvel MCU.
Really?
So that should be really interesting. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, yeah.
That is great. That is great. You know, we got good news all over here. We had a little bit of sad box office news the last couple of weeks with some of the our favorite movies that we thought might kick it off a little bit better than they did, but I think we still got a lot going
now
on.
Now they've re-released the Avengers Endgame with but this time they're showing new deleted scenes that wasn't shown the first time around. So
really,
you see it the second time you'll be seeing some new scenes that you didn't see originally premiered. So that should be interesting.
You know, people like that. They feel like they're being taken into the confidence of the producer and director when they get to see those things. That's really, really good. That's wonderful. Well, I am being called back to the boardwalk with some issues apparently, and I'm gonna leave it in the capable hands of Papa Stro, Dave, and Todd. And Papa Stro, I'm gonna try to jump on that podcast at 10 o'clock. This evening when that new show on VOC Nation premieres. So I'm going to make my way back to the boardwalk, and you guys be good.
All right, guys.
Okay.
All right. But it's a good thing you mentioned about Keanu Reeves, because actually with the topic that I was going to bring up, for us to chew the rag over. I'm looking at the not in cement, but the predicted next 6-7 Marvel flicks. So, here's what I figure we can do. Start on the first one, and we'll take them as they go, and we'll kind of put in our 2 cents about whether we feel like it's going to be hitting a lick or it's another one that maybe perhaps they need to pass on. So
well,
you guys,
being a host, it's like ditch this and let the inmates run the asylum. Heck, why not?
There it is.
Hey, we are very well behaved inmates, though, right? Trustees of the court. All right.
Yeah. People Let's think see. They'll be listening to Arkham when they call in.
Oh, well, that'd be the truth. That's if they're lucky. All right. Of course, the next biggest thing coming up will be Far From Home, Spider-Man movie. We can't do any damage on that because we know it's already coming. Let's see here. They've got this one listed as May 1st, 2020. and it'll be a standalone Black Widow movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is what I'll say about that, just because I got some younger folks I work with. I've heard them chatting about that off and on, and I'm hearing people, at least let's say our 25 and under group, they seem to be pretty darn excited about it.
It'll be better than Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
And can you believe Captain Marvel MTV Awards, they voted the Captain Marvel fight scene, best fight scene over Avengers Endgame. Can you believe that?
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
And I mean, that fight between Iron Man, Captain America, and Thanos right there before everybody showed up, damn, that was one of the best fight scenes I've seen in a long while.
Oh, epic. It's just epic.
It's all about the agenda, man. You got to make a statement with every little thing you do now. So,
wow.
Yeah, I'm glad I didn't know that.
As Brie Larson told Thor, thank you very much.
Yeah, no kidding.
Thor told her that she wasn't the strongest. She thinks she's the strongest, but she's just not that strong. Chris Hemsworth did an interview and made a crack about her wanting to be the next Tom Cruise, and she's like, I'm going to be me. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah. I remember seeing that. We were talking about doing her own stunts, and she got all high into the left over it. And I'm like, wow, lighten up. You know,
And a war machine next to her, right, told her, because she kept elbowing a war machine next to her, and she said, and he got annoyed. He said, get off of me. I told you not to do that.
Wow.
Feel the love, man.
Him. Well, apparently this Black Widow movie is supposed to be, again, another prequel, if you will. It's supposed to be falling back to where Natasha got her status, her backstory and everything. And I'll be the first to admit, I mean, I don't mind telling you I told you so, but on this one, when they first said that Scarlett Johansson was going to play Black Widow, as much as I do not have a problem with watching her in a black leather suit for two solid hours, I did not think that she was going to do that good. But to be honest with you, she turned out to be one of my faves in the whole movie thing. I thought she had done exceptionally well. I thought the character was good. It wasn't over the top, but it wasn't it wasn't in the back row either, you know what I mean? So I think if they park the agenda, I think if they park the point making, I think this has the potential of actually being a pretty damn decent flick. We shall see. So
please bring back Scarlett Johansson as Black Widow. Please don't have anyone else play Black Widow but Scarlett Johansson.
She's definitely gonna be in there. Let's see here. Jack Schaefer's writing it. Blah, blah, blah. Yak, yak, yak. And it's definitely going to be Scarlett. And they're assuming that Jeremy Renner is going to play Clinton Barton, otherwise known as Hawkeye again, which, you know what? Leave him out of it because I don't have a whole lot of use for him. I think if they had somebody else playing Hawkeye, I probably would have been a little more enamored with it. But, you can leave old Mr. Renner out. I'll be totally bliss. So, shall we, as Dusty would say, if you will, move on to the second movie on the list, which really gives me the heebie-jeebies, is The Eternals.
Oh,
that's right. There's that long, uncomfortable moment of silence. The reason why nobody mentions it is because for the comic book industry, at least phase when I was reading comic books steady as a kid and a teenager, if there was one book we never read, it was The Eternals. So
now let me throw this out. Just a thought. Do you think maybe because Marvel did okay on Netflix with like their Daredevil on Netflix beat the bloody hell out of the movie theater. Jessica Jones got her following, and she wasn't mainstream. Damn it, what's his face had his own series there. The whole Iron Fist thing, and they were able to bring them all together, and that stuff where they were all together was pretty solid. So do you think something like that, they were like, okay, we did okay on Netflix. Maybe we're going to try to go a little off the, and they did it off the beaten path with most of it on Netflix. So they thought they could do it, try to double down on that concept.
It's a possibility. They're saying here that it's going to tie in somehow to the Guardian film, which, that could be a good thing or a bad thing. Because to me, the Guardian films don't need improving. They need to just keep making them. I think they're wonderful films. So,
heck, I think the Invaders had a bigger comic book following than the Eternals.
Yeah, back when they had Submariner and all of them. Yeah, this one's got me kind of just. And here's my gripe, is that Marvel/Disney, the entertainment monopoly, they just bought out Fox. So now you have the Silver Surfer, Galactus, Doctor Doom, Fantastic Four, X-Men, Deadpool. You've got all of these properties. And you're talking about making it a mortar, an Eternals flick. head scratcher. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I mean, who would have thunk that the Guardians would be as good as they were? But they were excellent films. So,
I would love to see a Doctor Doom feature film.
Oh yeah, if they do
Doom.
It correctly, they got to do it right. They can't do it like they did before, where he, turned out to be one of Fantastic Five and everything else. You gotta,
no,
yeah. They've got to do it legit. But no, you're right. Doctor Doom would be a very compelling character to have in there in the event that they did it correctly. And there again, there's that key word, correctly.
What they mean by correct and what you mean by correct are two different things.
Kind of like what they're doing to Star Wars right now.
Oh, God. Stop the
Which
madness,
is not cool.
Please.
Yes. I mean, just when you thought...
I'm scared.
Lucas.
Yeah. I'm scared what they're going to do to the Emperor Palpatine. I'm so scared. Because another
I'm
great
scared
character,
we're
just like Luke Skywalker. I'm still mad about Luke Skywalker and Han Solo. And Princess Leia.
I agree. Well, we've spoken about it before, and not to get too far out from it, but The Walking Dead, when the powers that be in TV land got into a pissing match with Chandler. God, what's that young man's name? Chandler.
Greg.
That's it. Thank you. Very talented young man. And I thought he was doing a great job as Carl. And
Rockin' owned it. He owned it.
Yeah. And they wrote him out of the movie or out of the series. And I remember telling my wife, I says, regardless of what they're doing, they don't understand is that now that they've bumped off Carl, Rick has no need to be around. And she says, well, who's the main character? And I said, yeah, he is the main character, but not now, because he's already acknowledged the fact that he is pretty much convinced that his daughter is not his. So what's the sense of Rick? The entire comic book and the entire series is based around that family dynamic of Rick and his son, you know, surviving through this horrible, you know, here's this guy bringing up his son in the zombie apocalypse. That is the core basis of that show. So when you eliminate that character, it kind of just neutralized Rick. And bigger than anything, the new season starts, and they do the time jump, and they bring out Judith, where she's, you know, 7-8 years older, and all of us got that they might be on to something. And then they didn't show her for the rest of the season, but here and there. In the meantime, Andrew Lincoln, who's a very accomplished gentleman and probably doesn't need to act another day in his life after the success with The Walking Dead, you know, he's sitting in his trailer reading these scripts going, why is Rick Grimes here? And, you know, so now what happens? You know, Rick comes in, or Andrew Lincoln comes in and says, hey, guys, I'm off. And the next thing you know, the dominoes start to fall. Now they're losing Michonne next season and everything else. And but from a writing aspect, they painted themselves into a corner when they wrote his son out of the thing. Same with Star Wars, all right? And for all of us, as they say, old school now, Star Wars fans, the core characters were Han, Luke, Leia, right? Well, you bump off Han. But Chewie kind of takes kind of a tertiary level of those three characters, you know? And the thing of it is you bump off Han Solo, which had absolutely no impact on the story at all. I've watched that movie 100 times, and I can tell you, it had no impact on how that movie flowed.
When they showed Luke Skywalker sucking the tits off an alien bird, I'm done with this. Luke Skywalker represented everything that was good about Star Wars. You know what I mean? He was the symbol of hope. You know what I mean? And he's sucking tits of an alien bird.
Now he's getting some freshly squeezed. Yeah. But what happens is nobody writing that script when they frivolously killed off Han Solo, none of them thought that Carrie Fisher was going to keel over a year later. And now what do? You've painted yourself into a corner because you've already wasted that one character on an unnecessary death. So now you go into The Last Jedi, and what do? The same damn thing over again, and you have Luke do it. So now you're down to having to find a way to get Carrie Fisher to act on a movie that she's not alive around to act for. So, you know what I mean? And there's not but so much going back and getting old stuff. There's not but so much CGI that you can do to make it quality. And, you know, that's where these places have got to even, you know, Marvel to a certain extent. Yeah, you bump off Tony Stark. All right, well, that from here on out is going to be a speed bump in the plot process. You know,
I'd love to see Han Solo come back as a Force ghost to Lando Calrissian and say, get out to him and say, get out while you can. Get out, Lando.
Point at the Falcon. Wow. And not a thing. Yeah. So going back to this Eternals thing, we shall see. So, gentlemen, are you ready for the third movie that's coming up?
Right here.
And this one has February 12th is predicted of 2021. Black Panther 2. Yay. I didn't think the first one was bad, but it wasn't memorable. You know what I mean? It wasn't a bad movie. It was a good flick. It just, yeah, I don't know. So they are wailing off another one. Let's see here. Trying to see what they're saying. Blah, blah, blah.
Well, I think the first one went well merchandising for them, so I guess they're going to run it again. Because it merchandised.
Yeah.
It merchandised hard.
Yeah, if it sells toys, they'll make it.
Maybe he'll maybe he'll reunite with somehow he'll him and some of the Wakanda people will get together and try to go to the hood and try to save the hood. Like Watts and Compton or something.
And
maybe start their own rap band, you know, with Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre and
God.
Looks like this was gonna bring
back Shock G and Digital Underground. You know what I mean? Have Ice
Public
Cube
Enemy.
In it.
Yeah.
Black Panther meets Ice Cube. I'd love to see that. Friday meets Black Panther, you know what I mean?
How about at the barbershop?
There
yeah,
you go.
And have Debo be the villain. Come back as the villain. Debo takes on Black Panther. That'd be Zeus, Debo.
So, we'll move on to movie 4 because there ain't a whole hell of a lot to talk about in the last one. And it will continue on the conversation here to the fourth movie that they're predicting, which is a May 7th, 2021 release date. Brace yourselves for impact. Shang-Chi, Master of Kung Fu. I'm telling you guys.
Sounds like Shangri-La, that wine that Fred Sanford drank in the Mexican restaurant.
Yeah. And again, here we go again. It's another one of those things where I'm scratching my head. I'm going, God knows you've got all of these characters to play with. I mean, let me throw this out there. Who was Silver Surfer? He was a herald of Galactus. And he did Galactus' dirty work for a long time until he started realizing, hey, this guy's killing an awful lot of innocent people, devouring planets. Perhaps I'm working for the wrong guy. And that's when Silver Surfer turned towards the good and started becoming a thorn in the side of Galactus. So if you were to take Silver Surfer and perhaps do a movie with him, with the whole Galactus concept, I mean, wow. We could go somewhere with that. You know what I mean? But instead we turn to Shang-Chi, Master of Kung Fu.
Iron Fist workout for him.
That's what I'm thinking. I mean, you know, again, Iron Fist was great when he, I preferred him more, if you will, like when he appeared in, you know, support of so-and-so in their show, their series. And I suppose we needed a little backstory to at least understand him or whatever. And he was fine as part of the whole mix. You know, when they did the collective there, but man, as a standalone, that was not the strongest of the other ones by any means.
Yeah.
So we'll I don't know. That next thing they're going to be doing is some remakes of Charlie Chan.
That would be my guess if they were trying to take this and quite possibly make it a almost like a Bruce Lee flick. And if they did that, I mean, hey, that might be doable. I mean, who doesn't like a Bruce Lee flick, for crying out loud? But, yeah, this is another one that's got me scratching my head. It says, how does it fit into the Marvel Studios thing? It says it resurrects the Ten Rings, and that was an idea of Steven and Iron Man, but never carried out to fruition as the Infinity Saga took shape. As a crime league embedded across the world, but owing an allegiance to no country, the group gives Shang-Chi a nice international opponent with an established Marvel footprint. Also, for as fun as Ben Kingsley was in the fake Mandarin, it would be nice to see the Ten Rings and its leader get the proper spotlight. Now, good point there. If you were to have him fighting a legitimate Mandarin and have the Mandarin not be some fake actor like they blew it in Iron Man 3, there's a possibility. And I tell you, when I heard that Ben Kingsley was going to play the Mandarin, I was on top of the world. I thought that was going to be a perfect fit, and they blew it, so they can't go back with him. But there's an actor, and I might pronounce his last name wrong here, but Watanabe, he played on The Last Samurai. God, he's been on all kinds of Ken Watanabe. And he was the main guy on The Last Samurai. He's been in all kinds of stuff. Now, he is an intimidating figure. He would do well playing the Mandarin if they brought him back around.
Maybe Black Panther and Shang-Chi, whatever it is you call them, could unite and be in the new Shanghai Knights movie remake.
Yeah. Wash them together and just make one movie out of it so you just be miserable at once, you know? So, here we go. As I take a long,
wow,
deep drag with my cigar here, brace yourself for impact. November 5th, mark this one on the calendar, Strobe. November 5th, 2021. Young man, you will be seated on opening night for the release of Captain Marvel 2.
Dear God, help us.
I'm waiting
for you. I'm not cool.
Yo. Here we go again. The least popular of the Marvel Universe, or the Marvel Cinematic Universe right now, is warranting a second film. So I still have yet to see the first one. I am in no rush. But yeah. So 2 years from now, 2.5 years, we'll be treated to a second dose of Captain Marvel.
Hopefully without Brie Larson. Maybe they recast Captain Marvel.
Yeah, ain't looking good. Let's see here. Blah, blah, blah. And perhaps Captain Marvel 2 will follow up on the ideas from Guardian of the Galaxy and the Eternals. But as Captain Marvel's story spans decades, the possibilities are endless. There's good news.
Yeah. Like a recap. That'd be
great. Get some more of that. All right.
Oh, recap. I see what you did there.
Like that, huh? All right.
Oh, man.
Moving right. And gentlemen, I will be totally honest with you. I thought this would be a little more compelling and exciting than what it has turned out to be, but I don't schedule these things. I mean, all the guys that were rolling around in my head, and I started looking at this lineup as I'm reading them to you, and I'm like, God, will somebody please make this exciting. You know, some lightning strike somewhere. All right. Moving along.
I don't know. I guess, let me see. Little stuff. The Gary and Casey were on vacation. Let me just throw something out there. We with all our pop culture things, let me give a pop culture plug out there. We know that a lot of these people that do the cons make a lot of their money is made doing pictures and that. And especially at the bigger cons, they're charging you massive dollars for the photo ops and stuff like that. Garen and Casey had done the West Coast Swing, and while there, they ran out to Vegas. And they saw a couple shows. Casey wanted to see Celine Dion. Garen gave that a big thumbs up, said it was a hell of a show. He's seen a number of concerts. He's seen Kiss. He's seen, you know, the Glam Slam Metal Jam. He's seen Van Halen with Gary Cherone, all kinds of stuff. So he's seen some stuff live. So he loved that show. But they went to go see Penn and Teller. And he said they used a different size theater than the one that they do the Fool Us in. He said there were no bad seats. He said they had phenomenal seats. And he said that those guys stuck around after the show. He said Teller was there about 45 minutes. He said Penn stayed an hour, hour, 15 minutes, take time to talk to people and do photos with people, and they did not charge for the photos after the show.
See, that's very awesome. Cool. That is how you take care of your fan base.
That is stinking huge. And, you know, you're talking nightly productions. That is stinking huge. That those people, you know, sure the tickets are 80 bones, but still, I mean, I got backstage after a show when we were in Kansas, and somebody was walking around with a damn placard on, and it said, like, $10 for a photo with them. You know, just some of them are like that. But these guys, they took the time to spend the time to be there and just, you know, Garrett said that, you know, everybody got treated like people.
Right.
That's great.
Guys, I got to jump off here. I'm going to be jumping on the Bruce Wirtz POC. History podcast.
Oh, yeah. By all means. Hey, you guys break a leg with that. You guys knock them dead.
But thank you, guys. Always a blast. Always a blast for you guys. Give Dr. John my best. And you guys have a great night. Always a pleasure.
All right. Good brother.
Good luck with the new show.
Thank you.
All right.
Good God, brother. All right. So, yeah, so we're wrapping up the thing. Hell, it's almost like I wasted a damn plug with that thing. we're about there for plugs anyways. What say you, Diamond Dave?
If you want to wrap up this Marvel thing on a happy note, we can do that.
All right, let's plug go for it. Yeah,
we
I'm all about it.
Sixth movie, February 18th of 2022, will be the second installment of Doctor Strange.
Okay.
So perhaps that will be a saving grace.
Now, it's interesting that it was a slightly, imagine working in a place that has that's information system, information technology oriented, go figure, we got some geeks there. I will tell you what, my older female constituency, and when I say older, we'll say 30 plus, not my youngins, they all kind of dig old Doctor Strange.
Yeah, that's old.
So there is a following there.
Yeah. And it was a good movie. I enjoyed it. So I mean, that's another one that might give us a fighting chance. My concern is release date of 2022. So here we are. We're looking at a 3-year stretch of movies that we've all just kind of gone to. So
we were kind of digging Black Widow.
We got Spider-Man, Black Widow, and then we started hitting the downside. Eternals,
and I still think we will see if that off the beaten path thing will work with was it the Eternals? Is that it? We'll see if that works. I'm not going to be completely shut down on that going into it. And look, all I know is that Black Panther gained some huge fans. Like I said, there was a reason that merchandising happened. And the supporting cast was solid. There were real characters there. So we'll see if that keeps up that side of things, because there was solid character interaction and stuff like that. It wasn't one where the lead had to actually carry it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, you did have a good support in there.
And there was decent character interaction. So there's money there.
Excuse me.
There's money there.
Yeah,
so we'll see.
That could. Yeah. So coming off of the Doctor Strange, we move into May 6, 2022, and Galaxy 3, or Guardians 3, which to me is fantastic news. The bad news is I've got to wait another 3 years for another Guardians movie. And, you know, I thought that they did, you don't want to make the movies too light, because you can't take them seriously. But then on the flip side, they made this one. They found that just right. That Goldilocks factor. They found it just right and made it compelling, made it exciting. But on the flip side, still had some good one-liners in there that had you laughing. I mean, the last movie still... Every time I see that part when they're trying to tell Groot how to set the explosive, and he says, okay, just don't press that button. Groot, hey, does anybody got any tape over here? You got any tape? And, I mean, it was an added-on line that just made it funnier than hell when they were looking for tape because Groot kept trying to push the wrong button. If they continue with that magic, I think Guardians 3 will be outstanding, be beyond that. So, and then of course the last one they have is Spider-Man 3. And from what I understand, Spider-Man right now is supposed to be taking the mantle that Iron Man did, with the first phase of the Marvel, how he was kind of the flagship there for a little bit. And now Spider-Man supposedly is taking it over. Now, my guess is that somehow or another they would take all that and have it into a big buildup, and then complete that phase, and then somewhere in, you know, say 2023, 24, 25, if we live that long, to turn it over possibly to the X-Men Fantastic Four and let them be the flagship for a little bit. So maybe that's a possibility. From what I've heard, is that the Spider-Man movies, the reason why they're trying to go after the big-name guys for the villains is because they want to, the Infinity Gauntlet portion of the next phase will be the Sinister Six. So then they will bring back Michael Keaton for the Vulture. They'll bring back Gyllenhaal for Mysterio, which means we'll have to get another install of Green Goblin, which is excellent. I think if they had Willem Dafoe play him again, it would be great. The problem is that you got to be Willem Dafoe. You got to let him be Willem Dafoe. He can't be directed, if you understand my meaning. You got to let him be his own man, like they let Michael Keaton play as the Vulture.
Look,
you know,
damn it. I'm trying to remember All Saints Day, St. Patrick's Day. Okay, here we go. Willem Dafoe, look, we'll go back to Platoon, that whole scene that made him famous, and the special effects didn't work, and they kept it because it was just that hot. But him in Boondock Saints, dude.
Oh, yeah. He was great in that.
God almighty.
Another one of those odd movies when everybody was hitting on all cylinders. You know what I mean? Where everybody was just doing what they had to do. And that's what made Boondock Saints such a great movie, is the fact that even Billy Connolly, for crying out loud, for the lack of lines that he had, he killed it. And, David Della Rocca, who I had the pleasure of meeting a year or two ago, just fantastic. And, everybody in that film was just spot on. And
I'll shoot myself if you can tell me the cat's name.
Yeah. Kill me. Oh, when he shot that cat, I swear I laughed so hard, and it's not funny that he shot his girlfriend's cat, but I mean,
he didn't shoot it. Remember, he pounded the table, the round fire to hit the cat.
Yeah, I mean, And then, of course, when Billy Connolly silently exits the car and gets out with that black trench coat, and he doesn't bother reloading. He just rearms.
Right.
I mean, how great was that? He runs out of bullets, and instead of getting another round and putting getting another clip, he just drops them on the ground and pulls something else out of his pocket. Fantastic. But like you said, Willem Dafoe, and the thing is about Willem Dafoe is that he could play just about anything. You know what I mean? He's almost like acting spackle. He's like Robert Duvall. No matter what you stick him in there, he's going to do the job. And I think if they let him be the Green Goblin again, but give him the creative latitude that they gave Michael Keaton as the Vulture, I think it'd be over the top. But, of course,
I'm one of those guys that says Michael Keaton was great as Batman.
Man, Michael Keaton, he's another one, though, is that before he did Batman, he was doing Johnny Dangerously, Mr. Mom, Night Shift, and all those. And he was brilliant in those. Even though he was being a knucklehead, he was great.
Oh,
Johnny
man.
Dangerously.
That Night Shift. Well, Johnny Dangerously was friggin' great, but Night Shift, when he took the prison photo and he turned and looked at the camera, I still giggle when I see that.
When he was breaking down the word prostitution on that chalkboard, I mean, it's just great. And Henry Winkler, to his credit, here's a guy who made his fame playing the Fonz. The coolest guy on the show, right? But yet he played such a watered down vanilla character in that. But when he grabbed that Walkman and he said, reminding Bill, to shut up. I will give you a quarter if you just stop talking. I mean, what a great line. And the way he delivered it, he didn't deliver it as the Fonz. He delivered it as your dad. You know what I mean? And it was just, it was brilliant. But, yeah, Michael Keaton I thought was just, and it's funny we mentioned him, is that my idea for a new Batman flick, instead of going Twilight direction, why don't we fast forward it and we make a Batman movie later and we make one when he's, you know, late 50s and you have Michael Keaton playing playing Batman. I mean, let's, you know, let's run with that. There's a lot of opportunity. We don't have to go back and recast every damn movie, you know? So,
yeah,
there is hope come 2022. And Lord knows we're going to need it because there ain't no telling what's going to happen to Star Wars after December. Which I will admit, the past week, I have binge-watched all of the Star Wars flicks front to back, from Phantom Menace right on up to Last Jedi. And still, I still say that the best one was Empire, and the second best one was Rogue One. And then, of course, A New Hope. And what made Rogue One good?
Well, you know, I tell you what, I really liked Rogue One. I worry that in my case, nostalgia is not giving me the, is not letting me give the credit to Rogue One that it deserves to maybe bump Empire.
I thought it was great because it gave me that Star Warsy feel. You know, I had Stormtroopers and Tarkin and all those guys in it. But they also, there's not a whole lot of, I don't want to put it, not a whole lot of lull. And like The Last Jedi. Well, let me go ahead and say this. The last two, Force Awakens and Last Jedi, you could cut all of Finn's parts out, and the movie would still be fine. He is like the new Jar Jar Binks of the new, you know, three movies. And that The Last Jedi, you know, with the whole thing about them going to the casino and blah, blah, blah. You could cut that entire sequence out, and the film would still go fine. That being said, Rogue One doesn't have any spots like that. It continues to have you watching. You know what I mean? It has you, the pacing's right, the feel is right, and then the ending. My God, the ending. I mean,
right?
If you're a Star Wars fan, you did not take a breath in the last 5 minutes of that movie. It was,
well, it was the Vader. That was the Vader we all, you know, that was Vader.
That's the guy we know. Not the Hayden Christensen. You know, that's the Vader we know. The guy who ain't taking no names and is just going in there and getting the job done. And he was spot on throughout the film. You know, the few little parts they had for him in there. He was, they depicted Vader as they should have. No agendas, no point being making, no, hey, let's make Darth Vader a victim. No. Darth Vader was one of the baddest bad guys in film history, and they made damn certain everybody saw it in Rogue One. And that's what I thought. Plus, Rogue One was like a war movie. It was,
You had the Force 10 from Navarone thing going on in it, the, you know, all that stuff.
My brother calls it Saving Private Skywalker. It's just everything about it fell into place. And then what was so genius about it is, and this is what I did, is that I made sure I had plenty of time And as I finished watching Rogue One, I didn't even get up. I immediately started A New Hope, where it picked right up. And it gave the first 20 minutes of A New Hope a whole different feel. And
oh, absolutely.
I mean, when he comes through that cloud of smoke and the stormtroopers and he's getting on the Blade Runner there, you know, and he grabs Captain Antilles by the throat and everything. When I saw that in 1977, my jaw went through my seat, you know. But then watching it after seeing Rogue One, all of a sudden that whole part just became that much more intimidating. And, I mean, so it proves to me that they can make a good Star Wars film if they allow themselves to. You see what I'm saying? The magic is still there.
Yeah.
They can do it. But they've got to eliminate the agenda-based stuff. They've got to quit trying to make a point instead of just writing a story. And that's where I feel like the Force, these last two have kind of missed the mark, is that they're not bad. They're exciting. The visuals are unreal. I mean, some of the most out of control visual experiences you'll ever have. But they were lacking that core story. You know, they were it was more trying to make a hero out of every character. And
character interaction is huge with the characters. They
absolutely
gotta feel that they can have great lines, and the character interaction can only be okay because they don't seem comfortable with each other doing the stuff.
I agree.
The early Star Wars, they may not necessarily have all been drinking buddies, but you can see them sitting down at the table on the Millennium Falcon, at least sharing a beer together after the thing, not so much sitting down to drink and stuff, but just sharing a beer at the end of the day, and everybody, hey, have a good night. You know, go on, go forward, where they were just, they could have just sat around that little table, shared a beer, and not talked, and they'd have been comfortable and happy, right? I'm not getting that with the new generation, you know what I'm saying? They're trying to show the interaction. They're trying to have the great lines and stuff. But you don't see that comfort level where they could each sit there, sip a beer together at the end of the day, not say a damn word, and just wave to each other, walk off, and everybody's good.
And, you know,
there
Force
is
Awakens,
not that comfort level.
No. And they had Poe Dameron, who in The Force Awakens, I thought was a pretty decent character. Wasn't my favorite one out of it, of course, but I thought he was a pretty decent character. And then you go to The Last Jedi, and he suddenly turns into this against the grain, rebellious, act before you think kind of character. And then three quarters of the way through, that's when they reveal that it's all been a little side quest of Leia and that Laura Dern's character, Holdo. And I'm thinking, okay, now if Poe is such a key integral part of their success and the resistance, now they call it, resistance, if he's such a key element in the resistance, why wouldn't Leia share that with him instead of trying to pull the wool over his eyes and having this Holdo chick continuously make bad calls? You know what I mean? It didn't jive. And then of course, and Todd, you've known me for years. You know, I'm the guy who cheers for the bad guys in the movie. they ain't nothing better than a good bad guy. And
oh yeah, you gotta have a valid bad guy.
This Kylo Ren, I get nothing out of him. I get another version of Hayden Christensen in the prequels playing Anakin Skywalker, where he has the cry face on all the time, blah, blah, blah. Hey, let me tell you something. At the end of Return of the Jedi, you knew darn full when they pulled that helmet off of Vader and he tells Luke, you know, you've already saved me, blah, blah, blah. Blam, that's enough. We get the point. You know, whatever you do, don't discredit the badness of the bad guy. You understand what I'm saying? And one of the things, one of the plot twists in The Force Unleashed that kind of got under my skin was you got Kylo Ren, who's supposed to be the next baddest, bad, awesomely bad Jedi, Force wielder, and he's fighting against Finn, again, the Jar Jar Binks of the new movies, who, may I add, is a deserter, just saying. Here's this guy, picks up a lightsaber, has never touched one in his life, and is able to last 3 or 4 minutes with the second baddest Force wheeler in the galaxy, head scratcher. So then he fights, God, I'm totally forgetting her name. That's horrible.
Yeah, right. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, the hero one.
Ray, yeah, there you go. And then she gives him all kinds of hell. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, put Vader in that fight. It would have lasted 30 seconds. He'd have knocked both of them out, you know? And it just seems to me that perhaps they could have, that they're going too soft on their villain characters. And to me, it just doesn't, you got a feeling, whenever you're watching a movie like that, you have to have times where you feel like there's no hope. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, you gotta be pulling out that whole Seven Samurai, Magnificent Seven, same movie. You gotta have some of that stuff in there.
I mean, Lord of the Rings. When we saw Gandalf take that damn nosedive, fighting a Balrog. I mean, you can't tell me, and you've read the books 100 times like I have, but you know, you watch it on film and you're going, oh, these guys are screwed. There's no way in hell they're going to make it now. They just lost Gandalf. And, you know, with the clowns they've got playing, if you took, here I go again with names, Hux, Commander Hux, kind of like the military leader on the new ones. Who is the Tarkin of the old movies, as Kylo is the Vader of the old movies? But they look like two clowns put up against Tarkin and Vader. And if you watch A New Hope, Tarkin's colder than Vader is. I mean, you didn't screw with Peter Cushing. He didn't blink. I mean, that guy was just mean. And then they bring him back in Rogue One, and what is he doing in Rogue One? He blowing up stuff then without question. So, comparatively speaking, when you get this General Hux and this Kylo Ren, they are the flagship for the bad guys, and they're not doing it. They seem more inept than what they do all-powerful. So,
I'm with
a lot of and I will admit openly that I, after watching the Han Solo movie for the second time, I enjoyed it a whole lot more the second time around, thought it was much better. I still stand by my thing about everything was going fine, but the guy they had playing Han just was not Han-y enough. Glover, the young man they had playing Lando. I mean, you actually – he was channeling the inner Billy Dee Williams playing Lando, and Chewbacca. They nailed Chewbacca. God, they just totally – it just pushed Chewbacca's legendary status that much further up. But I enjoyed it much more the second time around. But, again, it proves that they can make – good, watchable, and enjoyable Star Wars films if they leave the agendas out of the right.
I want to go back to your current generation bad guys, the Kylo Ren. Kylo Ren's a friggin' millennial.
He is. I mean...
bottom damn line. He's a millennial.
Yeah. The throwing the fits and blowing stuff up, you never saw Vader do that. Vader choked guys out that failed. You know what I mean? And that's...
Yeah, pretty much.
To me, that... You know, Tarkin was blowing things up to prove a point, and Vader was choking out guys that couldn't cut the mustard. And... You know what I mean? You cannot ask for more compelling, more intimidating, more Jesus, these are bad guys than that. So then you get Kylo Ren, who gets mad. He rips off that ridiculous mask he has on his head and starts blowing, you know, smacking around his lightsaber, tearing up control panels and everything. And I'm going... Come on, man. You know, enough with the tantrums. You know, throw yourself on the ground and hold your breath. How's that? That's neat. It's just, yeah, there's nothing bad about them. Nothing intimidating about them.
Please,
you watch them.
We already know that the maintenance staff would have set that stuff up so his next temper tantrum, everything was short circuit, come back through and electrocuted him.
Yeah, it would have fried his ass. And not to mention the fact that, let's go back to Star Wars again, A New Hope, all right? If you really watch that and watch the parts when Tarkin and Vader are together, the dynamic, Tarkin was the guy holding the damn controls. Tarkin was the guy in control. He was, you know... You know, Vader's choking out that one guy at the table. And Tarkin doesn't flinch, lets it go on for a little bit, and he goes, Vader, it's enough. And Vader turns him loose. In the meantime, you've got this Commander Hux and Kylo, and there's too much infighting. There's no mutual respect as a bad guy. They're like two bratty kids. You know what I mean? And...
Oh, yeah.
So you know darn full and well if Vader went nuts and went in there and started tearing things up, Tarkin probably would have walked up to him and said, hey, let's not do that. We're trying to build this Death Star. Quit tearing it up, right?
Tarkin would have been, I'm docking your pay, bitch.
Exactly. He'd have said it straight. And not to mention the fact that he would have looked right at Vader with no emotion and say, and if you got a problem with it, let's call the chief. And
yep.
It would have been over with like
right now.
Yeah, and let's get this fixed. So, I've got a lot of anticipation, and I have a bad habit of having high expectations going in. And I think that's what made Rogue One so magical for me, too, is that I wasn't expecting much. And then when I went in there and I was totally floored, you know, it made, and again, first time experience, every time I watch that movie, I get goosebumps. You know what I mean? It's just that damn good of a flick. And hopefully this next one coming up, they'll try to recapture it. I don't know how they're going to do it. But with any luck at all, obviously Star Wars will not be done after that. I mean, for crying out loud, Disney did not buy Star Wars for, what was it, $4 billion just to make three flicks and call it a day. But
okay, and if you want evidence of that, why have they already re-released Aladdin? Not re-released, redone it.
Yeah. Yeah, about that.
Leave it alone.
Yeah, that's another one that the casting wasn't there. And
dude,
am I going to go
25 minutes past, just for the record?
Are we? Well, we went until 10:30.
And Dave, guess what?
It's plug
time.
We're
still on the air. It's not just you and I talking.
We're holding it together. No, awkward moments. We held right in there. So let's do the plug thing since we ain't got the 5 minutes. Go ahead. We got the hustle now.
Okay. This is a classic, ain't it? I mean, you had mentioned that the whole movie thing wasn't going to go, and we just rambled on for another 35 minutes. See,
yes, we did. Well done.
Yeah. Oh, man. See, back to it's a whole chemistry thing. The
yes, sir.
The characters don't, you know, we don't need lines. We're just sitting here doing it. The all right, so I want to talk about there's a million things. I'm going to do this. The Father's Day. Let's go back to that. The dad passed last year. Missed the hell out of you. You did good. You're one of the best granddads that the kids could have had. So
I appreciate that.
Damn spot. Proud of them. For those that have me on the social media, you saw what I got there for the we try to keep stuff simple. Yuki knows I love my different snacks of the different legume family. So I got this whole pack of various peanuts and almonds and pistachios and cashews and walnuts and doggone, you name it, that stuff came in, pecans, all kinds of good stuff. So me being me with my humor, I took the picture of it and posted what the family provided me and said, see, there's still nuts about me. Or maybe they think I'm nuts. Both? Question mark. And that's actually the real family. But me being me, I got to slide in one of my damn ass jokes. And this came to me from Frank Springer, one of my Marines. Frank, love you, buddy. Just so you all know, Yuki knows about this, didn't really happen. Those of you that know, clearly those of you that are in the, have been involved in the, marital type relationship would be aware that if I had said such a thing as I'm about to portray in this joke, I would be talking like this at a bare minimum. So Yuki asked her, she goes, hey, honey, am I the only one you've ever been with? And I was like, well, yeah, all the rest were eights and nines, and there was even a 10. Yeah, and just for the record, that's how the fight started.
Yes, and she was the one. Well done. Outstanding. Nice joke. I'm sure she got it.
Yeah, but she's well aware of the joke and stuff like that. She's well, we talked about it. She knows. I haven't been served yet, so, you know, so far that's okay. So,
so far so good,
I'm
right?
I'm trusting we're still good.
Well, real quick, my plug before the English lady drops us off is my son. Again, I could not have asked for a better Father's Day present than to watching my boy, named after his dad or after my dad, carrying on the Atwell name, proud and loud. Congratulations, young man. I love you much. Way to go, you graduate.
Hey, we're proud of you, man. We're proud of you.
We appreciate it, man. We're fixing to get cut off, so all right, man. Well done tonight, and I will talk to you soon.
All right. Take care, brother. Big hugs. Crew out there,
and
thank you. Love you. Big hugs. Night, all.
Good night, and thank you for joining Pop Culture Stars. Where is the British lady? Or maybe I have to go in on the computer and cut her off. She's dramatically. So, let me walk inside. Now that running the boards here, part of it is you have to shut the show off. So, let me. Dun, 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 dun.
Then again, we may have been talking not on the air for a while. Who knows, you know? We may have just been talking.
Yeah. All right, we're in the red, so this is it. Good night, everybody. Well done, Todd. I'll be talking a little bit, brother.
All right. Night, all.
All right. Bye-bye.